This is Leo for KTWH. I'm in the studio on a Tuesday afternoon, October 18th, with Michaela Rice, who is the naturalist up at Gooseberry Falls State Park. Welcome back, Michaela. We have ourselves in the midst of this busy season of changes, the fall of 2022, and we've had a bit of a roller coaster of our temperatures. And what's the view today up from Gooseberry?
Well, today
or down
was,
from Gooseberry.
Yeah. Today was a beautiful surprise. I had third graders coming in today and was worried that they were going to be really cold. It's been so cloudy and windy and precipitation between rain and snow this past few days.
Yeah,
so,
oh,
yes,
that's the S word.
I know.
The last session we had, you were worried about the S word, but you've been through it now.
Yep, it
you
came.
You survive.
I just took a deep breath and I was like, okay, got to get through this. And it was fine. My dog is definitely very cold. We had a nice weekend, though, traveling. I went to Temperance for the first time. So,
oh, that's a doozy
wow,
of a park.
Oh, it was so beautiful. So, but yeah, clouds all weekend. And then today we had the beautiful sunshine, super clear. And I got to see some very nice swells on the shore. I was doing a program down by Pebble Beach and our picnic flow. And yeah, just beautiful waves rolling in, possibly some storms brewing in the UP of Michigan. And so we're getting the other side of it. And the
That's
students
right.
just love to watch the waves roll in.
Have you heard a little more of the phenomena around the lake, that South Shore, especially up towards, as we move east towards the UP, lake effect?
Yeah.
Lots of lake effect,
yeah,
like 8 to 10 inches this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Of snow. I should say of snow, not of rain, but specifically, you pay attention to it when it's falling by the foot.
Yeah, and it's fun to then see what happens on our side of the lake when
right.
it's calm here and you're like, why are the waves so big? There's not phenomena here that would be causing that. And
right.
you have to think of how big all that water is. It's got to go somewhere. So we got to enjoy the waves today.
Right, because I think I read just last week that the tidal effect, the moon gravitational tidal effect, is a couple 3 inches in the St. Louis River estuary. But the seiche, that rock and roll action on our lake from wind, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
can be a foot or more.
Yeah, and some people, even the tide to them seems like a myth. I feel like I have to dispel that myth with people
right.
that there is a lunar tide, you know, that we experience. Even though it's not large, it is still a phenomenon in our lake, which I think is amazing. But yeah, the swelling and all that other stuff, fascinating.
So you entertained and educated some third graders today, and you're still getting the lay of the landscape of our Northwoods fall changes. And I think you told me there were some aha moments that we could talk about from our last session.
Yeah, so I was trying to be a good scientist and re-listen to what we were talking about. And I even had, yeah, like you said, some aha moments. You know, when we were conversing last week, I was kind of thinking, we were thinking through some processes and, oh, well, maybe tamaracks do this and whatnot. And so it occurred to me that, and we kind of mentioned this, that tamaracks do really well in areas where other trees don't. And that's that poor soil.
Right.
And so this poor soil has less nutrients for those trees. So to help balance that, we can think of it as like calories. They're having low calorie intake, so they have to monitor all the energy going out, right? And in order to help with the nutrient loss, they're trying to keep as many calories as they can. So they drop their needles in the fall, like we talked about with the deciduous trees and losing their leaves, and they do that more for nutrients. So they are helping to preserve some calories in the winter, and they drop off that live tissue. And that helps them with their kind of caloric intake, you know, in the
okay.
winter.
That's, because they don't have to metabolize in their needles in
yeah,
the winter.
Or keep those needles alive, you know,
well,
cell
and that's, that,
protection,
yes, that's what
all
I meant.
Those
they
things,
don't have
yep.
to process, because the processing has an energy cost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all about cost.
Well,
yep.
to me, when I see any plant dropping leaves, I also think, well, there's fertility going back into the soil. So in a way,
mm-hmm.
they're actually dropping some of the nutrition for future
yeah,
energy
that's
consumption.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's
it'll
all
break
that
down.
Cycle. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a beautiful cycle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice aha moment. And I think you said that you also had more thoughts on a heavy
yeah.
subject called anthocyanins.
Yeah. So I said something about, oh, well, you know, those fruits have that red in them all the time. And I'm thinking, okay, well, the leaves are going through this process and fruit's going through a process, right? It grows from a little bud. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, they both ripen. And when they ripen, they turn red. This is leaves and fruit. So fruits, if you think of an unripened apple or an unripened cranberry, they're green. Right. And they're going through the same process. They're building up sugars. The fruit is turning really sweet. And so that sugar concentration is building up just like it's building up in the leaves. And that signals that that tissue, whether it's the fruit or the leaf, is going to be ready to be dropped. And so then the green starts breaking down and then the red is produced, the anthocyanin, to protect the other tissue. So they do think, scientists believe, that the red pigment somehow protects cells from the processes going on in this point.
Well, in human nutrition that I occasionally read about, Michaela, now and then again, I'll read something. Anthocyanins are touted for their antioxidative process.
Yeah, so they absorb, it's called free radicals. They can, kind of molecularly bond. They like kind of rearrange things and protect some ions and some charges in the cells.
I think I heard the term scavenging free radicals.
Oh, yeah.
That's a metabolic concept, to scavenge them so that they're not, because these are the molecules or the ions that do the damage to our cells.
Yep. And that could be the result of that chlorophyll and stuff breaking down. So the anthocyanin comes in and grabs them all and protects.
Well, we're packing a lot of concepts together. And the other concept that came up was when you were talking about that apple or that berry that goes from a pale green yellow to red. There's a lot of competition out there in the natural world because almost all of those red berries are edible, and there's an animal somewhere that seeks them, as long as they're not so bitter or poisonous that nobody can handle it. So are there animals that must strategize to catch them as soon as they're ripe?
Well, I think trees, if we think of a fruit and why that plant is putting so much energy into that fruit, it's actually to be appetizing so someone comes and eats it and disperses its seed. So
because it's a moving company for seeds if you get the right animal, right?
Yep. So over time, trees and kind of they've evolved to make fruit for kind of a special animal, right? So usually trees that are producing a fruit, not all the animals in the forest are going to be able to eat that fruit. Maybe they don't have the way to metabolize it. And so in a way, there are less species or types of animals that can eat different fruit just based on the chemicals in the fruit. Other than that, I guess where in the tree they ripen. So maybe they're up really high, and so squirrels and birds have to eat those, and those are keeping it away from other critters that can't climb.
My thought exactly, that they're not all where each species can exploit it. Sometimes they're shut out, so the birds and the squirrels are getting more than their fair share of some of those.
Or they drop maybe, and other critters do that, like coconuts. Okay. They're supposed to drop in the water, so they float away. So that's not even necessarily an animal that they're after. To disperse their fruit.
What are our local coconuts? That would be my question.
I don't know.
I'm putting you on the spot.
In the water here. But I mean, so every fruit kind of has its different mechanism.
Here's an observation. We have at my house, we're growing some hybrid hazelnuts, which are a combination of the European hazelnut and our wild beaked hazelnuts, or one of the common hazelnuts that grow in the North Woods. But doggone it, if you have, I must say that those things are unripe 1 minute and they're ripe the next, and the squirrels always get them before we do. So what exactly are those cues? And we almost never find any ripe and beaked hazelnuts on the plant. They're always scoured as soon as they're ready.
Well, those squirrels are checking those trees all the time.
Scouts.
They live in those trees. My friend, do not live in the tree, so you don't get to see the whole process.
No, I've been accused of living in a fantasy world, but not in a hazelnut bush. That's right.
So they're picking up on things that we can't quite see, and I don't know what critters can smell, but I know that that's a big cue that different parts of the, fruit, or when it's ripe and ready, will smell a little bit different. So that animal knows, okay, it's ready to eat. It's not going to make me sick. It's time to eat it, and then those squirrels know that you're after the nuts, so they got to clear the tree before you get up in the morning.
I didn't make a community event announcement that I wanted to pick those nuts, Michaela, but they seem exactly like what you just said. They seem to be very suspicious that I'd beat them to it. So.
Oh, yeah, they must.
I'm humbled, and I'm not trying to win that competition. So
it's a good stance.
Yeah, and yeah, my sense of smell is completely almost mute compared to what they've got going for them. And I'm just looking for that darkening of a fruit. And it seems like I never see it get dark because they've harvested it before.
Yeah,
I see
they're
that
definitely picking up on something other than the color like you're looking for. So
we also have up at Gooseberry Falls State Park other things happening for in your naturalist world that might be worthy of attention of our listeners.
Yeah, so Friday and Saturday I have a combination of three programs, and I'd love for some folks, local folks, to come. So Friday at 2:00, I have a meditative program out on our picnic flow. So hopefully it's sunny again. And we'll be doing some mandala coloring, and I'm going to lead people through just a little short guided meditation, and I will build a fire out there, and it's just a calm, relaxing place to enjoy the waves and do some
mandala reflection. Creation these patterns
those
that are
geometric
gonna be,
patterns
that are then going to be washed away or washed by the wind.
Unfortunately,
oh, you have to
we're
remove
not
them?
We're not making them. No, we're just going to be coloring on Friday. So
okay.
I have some different things.
Okay, I guess I that misconstrued
cool
the mandala
thing.
Making. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not making, just coloring this time.
Okay. So did you actually hold the one that seemed to be going on last week when the weather was so tumultuous?
It was literally pouring rain.
Okay.
The hour I got out there, and it just started downpouring. And I'm like, no, we just can't. We can't. And then I came out in like a half hour after the program was supposed to be over, and it was sunny, and there was no rain or wind. So I was like, okay, that's what happens,
I guess. What the word for that is, I think that is October in a nutshell. Our October weather is very changeable within the hour.
Yeah, there was lots of mood swings going on. So
mood swings. I like that.
We'll try again on Friday.
Mandalas and mood swings with Michaela. It's very alliterative.
Yeah.
And what else is happening then later that same day on Friday?
Yeah, so then I have my art program. And just to give you some more kind of details about that, so that's 5:30 to 7:00. It's going to be in our visitor center in the amphitheater room. And like I had mentioned before, people can feel free to bring their own dried natural materials that you may collect from your home. But I just wanted to remind people, please don't collect anything from the park. I myself am not even collecting these items from state parks, just on my own time at my cabin. Things I was thinking we could make was some birch bark frames. I collected some little pieces of driftwood, and I've drilled holes to make some mobiles or like porch decorations. We could make garland for November to hang outside. I've got lots of ideas. I have some feathers. We could make jewelry really anything.
And
so.
You have some of the base materials like threading
basics,
or whatever or adhesives.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
All that stuff. So,
very good. So you're open to a person coming with a particular idea in mind.
Or nothing.
Yes. They can come as a vessel, or they can come so full of ideas that
Absolutely.
Other people are borrowing them.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, cool. I want it to be kind of a give and take. I'm free to hand out all my ideas that I've been brainstorming and all the things I wanted to make and never had time, or would love to see what other people come up with. And I have some, smaller things for kiddos, make necklaces out of natural material or critter necklaces with some different things on it. So, yeah.
But definitely the idea is something that can be ready to take home or on the way to being finished.
Yeah.
Very good.
Or inspire you to keep creating at home, whatever. So.
And there's some avian energy on the wing on Saturday, if I'm remembering it.
Yeah,
at your park
we
and another.
We have a guest presenter. Her name is Jackie, and she's a peregrine falcon researcher, and she's from the Peregrine Society. And she is going to be at Teteguch State Park at 1:00 doing her program for 2 hours, and then she'll come down real quick.
She'll take the shuttle bus.
Yep, down here. So I think actually it's 12 to 2, at Teteguch.
Okay.
But I do know that she is going to be starting at Gooseberry Falls State Park at 3:00 to 5 o'clock, you just kind of come in, rotate, and she's got her birds out and she's talking and she's doing different demonstrations for 2 hours in the visitor center. So come by, bring your cameras, come see a live bird.
Great. So yes, if folks happen to live closer to or are traveling up the shore, they might want to double check that Teta Gooch start time. But you think,
are you sure it's 12 to 2? She's got an hour to come down to us. So
that sounds exciting.
All right. We're really excited. So thanks for having us. And Two Harbors, I hope that you come visit me. I'm really excited for the snow and having some more local people. We could do some you know, weekly snowshoeing. I'm really excited to start doing that.
If people are up there, you're going to be the person in DNR uniform, but you're not the only DNR person up there. You're not wearing a big name tag or anything.
I do have name tag. And you can go to the front desk and
ask. Stop by
and
say hello to Michaela.
Say, who's that chick from the radio? I want to meet her in person.
Yes, right. Our fan club is going viral.
Yeah, come ask me questions. I want to know what you guys want to hear on the radio, what you want me to talk about, what questions you may have, what you want to see.
And exactly right. I would really appreciate knowing what the questions of each season are. And, you know, sometimes our young observational reporters out at North Shore Community School give me kind of a little laundry list of things they've seen in the last week. And maybe I'll save some of those up to ask you whether you've seen any of the same things in our future broadcast, Michaela.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm sure they're super observant and look at things that maybe I've looked at 10 times and don't even think about anymore. So we're always learning from each other.
Yes, I'm always amazed at the detail that they pick up that I might take for granted.
Absolutely. We all have to have the curiosity of children when we look at nature, because it's just, there's so much to take in all the time.
Yeah, they're always ending their little reports by saying, have a great day and be observant. And I think to myself, I need to take that more to heart myself.
Yeah, that's a great motto. I love that.
On those days where you find that it's the sun is setting and you haven't set foot outside to do much of anything except to take the garbage out or something, and you think to yourself, I probably missed some things today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In our adult world. Yeah. Thanks so much, Michaela, for joining us. I hope we have you back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Leo.
Thank you. Bye now. As Michaela Rice, the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, and this is Leo for KTWH.